Sandberg Productions presenterer Den ekte samtalen om og med generasjon X og Z. Hold deg fast og nyt. Hei hei kjære lytter og hjertelig velkommen til dagens episode av Generasjon X vs. Z. Og i dag så skal vi snakke om en mann i Strasbourg i Pennsylvania, altså da i USA og ikke i Frankrike. Vi skal snakke om en mann som fikk det til å regne mer eller mindre på kommando.
Ja, en spesiell fyr.
Veldig spesiell fyr.
En meget spesiell egenskap da.
Ja, riktig.
Fortell om han karen vi skal fram til, Henrik.
Jo, det som skjer at han får en dom, han fengselsdom, for å ha mottatt stjålen eiendom. Får permisjon for å dra I begravelsen til bestefaren. Han har litt tid da, før han må dra tilbake til fengselet.
Ja.
Så han drar til et vennepar av seg etter begravelsen.
Ok.
Og da på kvelden så merker det paret her at det begynner å regne inni huset til der hvor de bor da.
Fysisk altså, altså helt faktisk
Fysisk, ja det, som begynner, det begynner med at han merker det selv han, Vi skal snakke om her En mann ved navn Don Decker Han går inn på badet For han skal forberede seg til middag og sånn Og så merker han at han går I en slags transe da At han får det til å regne I den transen
Det veldig spesielt også
Ja Og det kommer også mer detaljert fram I et klipp jeg skal spille her nå over et øyeblikk Men han får også en del sånne krucifikser, sånne små kors da I hendene sine og sånn, og den begynner da å brenne Eller han hans begynner å bli varm
Og det vittne til, ikke sant?
Ja, ni vittner
Og det pålitelige vittner, såkalt?
Ja, ja, ja. Ja. Det to politimenn, en pastor, en restauranteier, og et par fengselsvakter, og en fengselsbetjent og så videre, eller en fengselssjef.
Skal vi si det så enkelt, Henrik, at det mye mellom himmel og jord som ikke kan beskrives med ord, men det må nesten oppleves uten å... Ja, det ikke noen forklaring på ting.
Ja, altså det som også skjer at politiet rykker ut da,
ja.
For den blir også ringt på grunn av det her, og politisjefen sier at det ikke skriver en rapport, det et rørleggingsproblem, og da til...
Rørleggingsproblemet?
Rørleggingsproblem, også med hvor han fikk det til å regne på et sted hvor det ikke rør, altså da foran I huset.
Det noe som skal dysses ned, eller, på å si på en annen måte, det noe man ikke I en rapport kan forklare. Og hva gjør man da, Henrik?
Nei, da skriver du rett og slett ikke en rapport.
Ja. Han, Don Decker, altså The Rain Man,
ja.
Han får faktisk det til å regne inne på fengselsdirektørens kontor.
Ja, ikke bare det, men han får det til å regne I cella si, blant annet.
Jeg vil gjerne høre historien, Henrik.
Det skal du få lov til.
I am going to tell you the story today about Don Decker.
Okay.
And this case has 9 very credible witnesses who actually saw this happen.
Okay.
The story takes place in February of 1983 in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. The story centers around a young man who was 21 years old named Don.
Okay.
Now, Don was in prison for... 4 to 12 months for receiving stolen property. So he's got a short prison sentence, mm-hmm. but he's out on furlough in order to attend his grandfather's funeral.
Okay.
And the story comes out that after his grandfather passed away, that Don comes forward and says that his grandfather had abused him since he was a child.
Okay.
So this is a very emotionally...
Yeah.
heightened time and no one else in the family knew about this.
Yeah.
So following the funeral, it sounds as though he's got like a little bit of time before he needs to return to prison. Just kind of like, you know,
he asked for the day and they told him take the week.
That's how it works. So he stays with some friends named Bob and Jeannie Kiefer.
Okay.
Bob and Jeannie live in a house. The first night that Don comes to visit with them. To stay with them is the night of the funeral, following the funeral. And Don was upstairs in their upstairs bathroom getting ready for dinner, and he suddenly felt confused and strange and felt as though like all the air had been like sucked out of the room.
Okay.
And he fell down and had a vision of an old man who was laughing and wearing a crown in the bathroom window. And then he had deep scratches on that appeared all of a sudden on his wrist.
Okay. So some kind of a scratching ghost king.
Yes. Later, after, you know, Don and his friends had dinner, Don starts to feel like a very deep chill. And almost at the same time, water began to drip from the ceiling. And he fell into sort of like a trance.
Okay.
So
probably around this time, his friends are regretting letting their friend from prison stay the night with them.
So Bob and Jeannie, you know, are kind of like, this must be, you know, pipes. This must be like, something's running upstairs. So they're kind of running around trying to figure out where it's coming from.
There's a leak.
Wondering
somewhere.
If, right. They're like, they must have a leak, but they cannot find the source of the leak. Mm-hmm. So they call.
And it's not raining outside, presumably.
It's not raining outside. Mm-hmm. So because they're unable to find the source of the water, they give their landlord a call. And his name is Ron. Mm-hmm. And he comes over and he comes in and sees the rain. And thinks that, yeah, again, like, okay, there's got to be like crazy piping, but he's running around thinking, well, there are no pipes in the front part of the house, which is where this is happening. It's really contained in the living room of the house. And at this point, the friend, Bob, and the landlord are running around. Jeannie, the other friend, is finding pots and pans to kind of like
collect
water. Yeah. Don is still sitting there in a trance. And the landlord said that he realized it wasn't only coming down from the ceiling, that it was actually coming from all over. So it was coming from like the floor up. It was coming from the walls aside. Like it was just the physics.
Everything
wasn't
was getting real damp.
Yeah. Well, it was coming from all over, all these different directions, not like just top down.
Okay.
And he couldn't find any leaks. So he calls his wife and then he calls the police. They all come over. Yeah. Like, this is weird. It was a lot of it. It wasn't just coming from one contained spot. I mean, it was the entire room was just getting drenched. And they said, yeah, they realized it's contained in the living room, which was also where Don was at this point.
Mm-hmm. Still in the trance.
Yes.
Okay.
Still in the trance. So all of this is happening. This is, you know, at this point, hours have gone by. Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure things out and they just can't. There's just this rain is just nonstop. And they're spooked. They're all pretty spooked. They live across the street from a restaurant, and the owner of the restaurant came over and also witnessed the rain. Mm-hmm. And kind of says to Bob and Jeannie, the couple that live in the house, you know, you guys should come over to the restaurant, like take a break from being in the rain.
Yeah.
And it looks like it was a pizza joint.
Okay.
And so the police end up leaving to go back to report this to their chief of police. Mm-hmm. And everybody else goes to this restaurant. So Don, Jeannie, and Bob head over to the restaurant. The landlord and his wife stay behind. And they said, as soon as Don left, the rain stopped. And guess what happens at the restaurant?
Starts raining.
You got it.
Oh, that guy's going to regret inviting them over.
It was a woman. Like, she's spooked and it's like, he's got to be possessed.
Yeah.
And she begins to, she goes over to her cash register, which she has a cross or a crucifix, and puts it on Don, and it burns his skin.
Never a good sign.
And this kind of convinced her that he was possessed. And she told Bob and Jeannie, you know, you have to call the church and have church have someone look at it.
Yeah.
Visit with him. Or she said that there's no way anybody could have, you know, played a joke like that, that it was, that she was certain it was real. And she thought that Don was causing it without even realizing it.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing at this point, like, he's still kind of in a trance, like still kind of not super responsive.
Not completely himself.
Yeah. They were able to like get him across the street, but he's still out of it.
Right. So later Don is also telling the story.
Oh, okay.
And he said that he believed he was, you know, responsible at this point. He was like, yeah. Well, this is happening everywhere that I am. And
yeah.
It's been like a full 24 hours at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought like the fact that it happened in the restaurant too, it was like, okay, this wasn't just contained at the house. It's something weird happening there.
Well,
it's following me.
And did he kind of have any recollection of,
yeah.
of like what he was feeling when that was going on? Why he was like out of it?
He felt like he felt just chilled and that all the air had been sucked out of the room is how he described it. Like he just felt strange.
Yeah.
And he.
Well, it's nice that he like owns up to it. He's like, look, some weird stuff happened last night. And I got to be honest, the whole time it was happening, I felt extremely weird. So I think that combined with the fact that it followed me from one location to the other. You know what, guys, I'll own up to it. I think it might be me.
So they leave the restaurant, head back to the house, and the landlord and his wife are there.
Do you know if they got anything to go?
You know, I don't.
Because I kind of imagine Don probably like wasn't really eating while he was
possessed.
While he was possessed, and also it was raining, so you never want to eat
soggy pizza.
Yeah, you don't want to eat soggy pizza.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question.
Though. Yeah.
So they head back over and the landlord and his wife are there and they're kind of like, we need to confront Don. He's causing this. Like, this is a weird prank and it needs to stop.
Right.
And at that point, pots and pans on the stove start to rattle.
Uh-huh.
And Don is levitated off of the floor as if he was like floating.
Okay. So that probably, they were probably like, you know, we'll talk about it tomorrow with them.
I'm gonna head home.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's fine for tonight.
But Don describes it as like he felt like it was a push, but it wasn't like someone taking a hand pushing him. It was almost like being pushed all over his body at once.
Okay, so just like pressure everywhere, and that
yeah
like rose him into the air.
And he said, "Quote: I'm a big guy, you know. I've always been assertive, and that made me." That made me feel like a newborn.
Yeah.
So this kind of convinced everyone in this group, like, okay, this is demonic. And
yeah. Yeah. This isn't some prank Don's been spending the last 4 months in jail coming up with.
So the police return this time with the police chief, and the chief got to the house. He came in and was, you know, hit with all this water. Just like everyone else had been.
I'm just imagining him opening up like, all right, you idiots, I'll get to the bottom of this, opening up the door and it just being a comical flood of water, like blowing him off the porch.
I kind of picture it more like a car wash, but maybe in like a little less intense pressure. It kind of just, it looks like outside rain come inside. But I'm thinking because it's kind of happening from all these different angles that it is a little bit more like a car wash, like coming in. So the chief.
After he went in, he got pelted by the water.
And he completely dismisses the incident, said it's nothing, not a police issue, and tells the other officers, like, don't even file a report. Don't talk about it.
Yeah.
This is like a plumbing issue. So the following day, three officers completely ignore the chief's orders and come back to investigate. Because they're like invested now. They're curious.
Yeah, they saw some really weird stuff.
They've never come across anything like this. So there, one of the police officers gives Don a cross, again, another crucifix to hold. And he said, Don says, it's burning my hands. And the officer takes it back and says, it was hot.
Wow. Okay.
All of a sudden, Don's lifted up off the ground and flies across the room with a force as though a bus had hit him.
Okay.
And there are claw marks on the side of his neck. So it seems like when people, obviously when there's like very heightened things, like something like bringing a crucifix out or questioning him.
Yeah.
It's like it becomes violent.
Yeah.
So they... Finally, the landlords and the friends of Don decide it's time to call try to find someone to perform an exorcism. Mm-hmm. They find, I think she's a pastor or a preacher.
Okay. So not like a Catholic
priest.
Not
a Catholic priest. I guess they had tried to and like they were turned down.
Yeah, they've got all kinds of like procedures that have to happen before they'll do an exorcism.
Right.
A lot of bureaucracy.
And at this point, this is several days of this kind of continually happening. So.
And Don's probably like, I gotta get this figured out before I go back to jail. Because right. Well, the other prisoners are
too
not.
Late. So the preacher comes, prays over Don in the living room. Mm-hmm. Don begins like convulsing wildly. There's like this very strong putrid smell in the room. Mm-hmm. More rain begins to come down. And then after a while, Don does calm down and it feels like a peaceful feeling came over the house. Mm-hmm. The rain stopped and the smell went away. And that was the last time the rain ever happened inside that house. The rain never came back.
Okay.
And Don seemed at this point to like kind of return to his old self.
A happy ending. All's well that ends well.
But not for long. So Don obviously has furlough ends and needs to return to prison. Mm-hmm. And within a few days, the mysterious rain has returned. So he had to stay in a cell with another inmate. And the rain began to come out of the floor, the concrete floor of the cell.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And his cellmate is obviously quite freaked out, panics, and calls the guard to come and ask to be moved.
Yeah, understandable.
And Don, at that point, realizes he kind of like can control this. Mm. He starts to feel powerful.
Okay.
And his demeanor freaked other inmates out. A lot of them like didn't really want to have anything to do with him. So some of the guards witnessed the rain and like describe it as being able to defy gravity because it could like travel up the walls.
Okay.
And go sideways to the air, like kind of exactly what was happening at the house. Mm-hmm. And one guard in particular was skeptical and was questioning about it. Was like, you're making this up. Like, how are you doing this?
That's a good and way to, Don, a good way to get soaked asking Don, those kinds of questions.
Well, Don says he has the power to control it. Like, I can make it happen. And the guard's like, well, then prove it by making it rain in the warden's office.
Oh, like, boy.
At the same time,
uh-huh.
The warden is sitting at his desk in his office writing a report. And he didn't feel anything unusual at first, but then he noticed his shirt started to like droop a little bit. And this is about at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And he realizes that there's a wet spot on his shirt that's like pretty large.
Okay.
That really like is, there's really no other explanation for how it got there kind of quite suddenly. So the guard came to talk to the warden about Don and saw this wet spot there.
Hey, warden, how'd you get that wet spot?
Yeah. And the warden and the guard looked down the hall towards Don's cell, observed a small ball of water that was heading towards them, and the water struck the warden in the chest and then splashed off. And the warden is like freaked out.
Yeah.
He's spooked and, you know, coupled with what this guard is telling him about Don's apparent abilities. And the guard himself is just like beyond scared.
Yeah. He went from skeptical to
get me out of here.
Looking for a new job.
Yeah. And they were completely unable to explain what happened. But the warden's trying to approach this in sort of a logical manner and calls a plumber to look at the, you know.
Finally, somebody calls a plumber.
But the plumber goes in the cell. He kind of becomes upset, quickly upset.
I'm
agitated.
Imagining this demon getting upset about a plumber the same way you would about Jesus and a cross.
Yeah.
Just being like, now.
Yeah, you're ruining my good time.
Yeah. So the plumber goes in, he gets upset.
He kind of gets upset and just like turns around and leaves. And he's like, don't call me for this kind of stuff. And the warden, he didn't tell the warden what he saw, but the warden kind of takes this to mean that the plumber saw something strange happen and was spooked by it also. So the warden's like, well, this seems supernatural, so I'm going to call a reverend, which is what he does.
I was hoping you were going to say, like, so I'm going to have to call up the supernatural prison and then reveal to me that there's one of those.
That would be pretty neat. So the Reverend kind of describes it as, quote, I received a frantic call from a sergeant in the jail, and he said, can you come over? We need you. We need your help. So he brought this very meek and mild-mannered young man into the room, and he was asking for my help. So Don tells the Reverend that he can make it rain, and that when crosses are placed on his body, they burn.
And he scares away plumbers.
And plumbers don't want anything to do with him. And the Reverend kind of, you know, is also taking this as like a skeptic standpoint.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah, of course.
You need to admit what you're doing here, buddy. Mm-hmm. Like, fess up.
You're freaking everybody out. You're freaking out the squares.
And all of a sudden, Don's demeanor changed, and that putrid smell came over the room. And Don like raised his hand and rubs his fingers together, like kind of like.
Like the money, like, yeah, give me some, yeah. Some money.
And all of a sudden, it started to rain.
Oh, boy.
And the Reverend opened up the Bible and started reading to him.
And what else can you do?
But the Bible never got wet.
Oh, okay.
Interestingly.
Waterproof Bible.
And the Reverend admits, like, I think I was praying more for myself at this point than him, because he was freaked out. And he prayed, and it was really it didn't really take very long, but the rain did stop, and he, you know, it subsided. Don sort of like returns to his normal self, and he explains it as like there was this feeling of peace again that kind of came over. And he says, you know, I have no doubt that Don was possessed. You know, they hug, they kind of get teary eyed, and Don was like very relieved.
Not too teary eyed. We don't need any more waterworks.
He was like, there's just no way a human could do that in that room. And so Don said that the bizarre occurrences after that are over. They kind of just never happened since. It was really during that very like heightened period of like emotional.
Yeah. Like grandfather who abused him dies and
no one knew or believed me. Mm. And, you know, he says that he believes his explanation for what he thinks it is that it was his grandfather's doing, that he abused him in life and then had a chance to abuse him after his death.
Right. So he had like a little waiting time in purgatory before he went to hell.
Right.
He's like, let me use this to keep tormenting my victim.
Yeah. Hmm. So there aren't a whole lot of explanations for what was going on there, except for this one that
says he was just very sweaty.
He was just very sweaty. He spit when he talked. No. There was a medical sociologist and a paranormal researcher from New Zealand who examined the case and said that he thought this rain could be the result of ice damming. And ice damming is when warm air enters an attic and then melts the snow on the roof, and kind of, you know, as the temperature drops, ice forms, and then that traps the water that can then leak into the house. And it really happens after major snowstorms when the temperatures rise above freezing during the day and then drop at night. And at this in Pennsylvania, in Stroudsburg at this time, this was February 1983, the daytime highs were in the 40s and 50 degree area, and the nighttime lows were about 20s and 30s. So like below freezing. And there was a major snowstorm in the area about 13 days earlier. So possible explanation, but the fact that this could maybe just happen at the house, like how does that explain the restaurant? How does that explain the prison?
You don't think that can explain how he made a ball of water levitate at the prison warden and hit him in the chest? Yeah, and I mean, that also sounds like the kind of thing where if that happens in your house, it doesn't happen just once when, you know, something else creates. They would be like, oh, this house, every time it snows and then gets warm and then cold again, it rains inside.
Right. There's also like the suggestion that stress can be involved. So like, you know, talking about how Don kind of went into this trance, like, triggered by being in prison and then losing his grandfather and having to like confront the fact that he was abused. And the reaction to that news, or lack of a reaction to that news, almost as if like this could be some kind of like a mass hysteria kind of thing, like of everybody's it's weak. It's a weak argument, but he does question why no one photographed or videotaped anything, or like call the local news if this was going on for days and days. And
but 1983, people didn't have video cameras yet, most people.
So, I mean, that the other, you know, people think maybe it was a hoax, but like don't really have a good way to explain it.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty interesting that there are so many witnesses who really are not only like
credible,
saw it and are credible, but also were like comfortable coming forward like many years after the incident.
I also always find stories more credible where it's like an occurrence that kind of had a beginning and end. You know, where I feel like sometimes you hear about these things and people come forward and they're like, and I still have my gifts, I still have my abilities, and then they can't prove it or whatever.
Right.
Whereas, you know, for some reason, I find it more believable that this happened for like a week and somebody had, or, you know, maybe a few weeks or whatever. And it was during this extremely traumatic time that somehow manifested this. But then, you know, a priest came in, or a pastor or whatever, said a few words, and whatever it was doing, it was like, all right, not worth it. I'm moving on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting. Certainly weird.
I'll say.
Yeah. Do you believe it? Do you think it happened?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think what's so interesting about this is like, I've never heard a story that's similar.
Yeah. I mean, you teased this story to me and I was like, what do you mean there's a person who could make it rain inside and there were multiple witnesses? Yeah. It's a very, that's another thing that like gives me more, confidence in it being true. It's just like, it's one of those like too weird not to be true,
right,
type things. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool. I'd like to have the power to make it rain inside if I was upset at somebody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's not that useful, but it'd be fun to pull out at parties.
Just keep people on their toes.
Yeah, or when the police come by.
The Rain Man?
Ja, nei, hva tros?
Jeg tenker, altså, han jo, altså, ble han ikke dømt også for ildpåsettelse, og så får han det til å regne. Det kontraster i livet hans, for å si
det
sånn.
Ja, det var 28 rett på da, i 2012.
Jo, men likevel da. Ble det for mye rain, liksom, eller? Han måtte kompensere med det andre. Vann, ild.
Ja, det kan være. Og det det eneste sikre livstegnet vi har av han per dag.
Skal vi være litt rause, som vi pleier å være, Henrik, og si at vi håper han har det bra?
Ja, vi kommer til å håpe at han har et godt liv utenfor fengselsmurene og uten regn.
Men har du noe fra NRK i dag, Henrik?
Ja, det har jeg, vet du.
NRK-hjørne.
Ja da. I dag så skal vi ta for oss noe som denne Don Dekker kanskje burde hørt når han var liten. Han var jo da 21 år når regnkaoset begynte.
Artister har gjennom mange år laget sanger for narsissistene. Sanger med budskap som forteller at du unik, spesiell, nydelig, uovervinnelig. Og at buten din vanvittig licious. Hvis artister skal klare å hindre at folk med personlighetsforstyrrelse bruker sjangene deres, så må de slutte å lage låter som forteller om at de spesielle, og begynne å fortelle folk at de egentlig ikke det. For du ikke amazing just the way you are. Du helt ok, og burde sikkert vært litt bedre. Ta deg en jævla joggetur. Du fortjener ikke R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Du G-J-E-N-N omsnittelig. Du ikke elektrisk, du ikke en dancing queen, og folk flest vil ikke always love you. Altså, hvis du står på morgenen og hører «Du ikke som de andre» og tenker «Den handler jo om meg», da du syk i huet. Hvis noen sier «Du ikke som de andre», så ljuger de. For du akkurat som de andre, og everything and everyone compares to you. Og det helt greit.
Marius, den mest gjennomsnittlige talen jeg noen som har hørt, altså.
Ja, den var... Hva kaller du den da, Henrik?
Nei, spør du meg, så spør jeg deg.
Nei, jeg synes det var helt grei å få servert.
Ja, i hvert fall i dagens samfunn, ja. Når en hører dette her, det blir vel ikke noe bedre hvis vi spoler 5, 10, 15 år frem i tid fra 2024 som sitter her nå. Det blir vel ikke noe bedre da, det blir vel bare verre.
Jeg håper jeg endelig ikke det, Henrik.
Nei, det lov å håpe, men ja da. Jeg lever i den tro om at verden blir verre, men at motorsporten består, noe jeg håper.
Okay. Ja, godt å ha talerør i orden, gutt min. Ja da.
Akkurat det er det, ja, det er vel du som også står for det delvis. Ikke da at vi trenger å rippe opp i det, men...
Men hva blir det neste uke?
Nei, neste uke så skal vi snakke om en raring som hadde en veldig spesiell diet.
Ja.
Det er jo da rett før påske, så bare vær litt oppmerksom på hva du dytter i truta i påske 24.
Det har vært en herlig påsamme dag, gutten min. Jeg bare gleder meg neste uke.
Det blir bra, det.
Ha det godt, da.
Ha det godt, du.
Tusen takk for at du fulgte oss. Gi gjerne tilbakemelding, likes eller kommentar på Facebook-siden vår Generation X vs. Z. Velkommen igjen til neste podcast-episode. Hei då!